Jesse, could you bundle your home and car insurance with Geico so we could save money? Last thing, just a suggestion. Could you steam clean the carpets? I need a spa day.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Introducing Fidelity Income Planning. We look at how much you've saved, how much you'll need, and help you build a straightforward plan to generate income, even when you're not working. A plan that gives you the chance to grow your savings and create cash flow that lasts. Plus, you can start, stop, or adjust your plan at any time. Talk to us today so we can help you go from saving to living. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSC, SIPC.
For the ones who know that a little late is always too late, and that the clock doesn't stop just because you're missing a part, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. And our KeepStock inventory management solutions help ensure you have the right stuff in the right place at exactly the right time. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente.
I love Giannis, but he's not like LeBron. He doesn't get me to the TV. If Giannis is on TNT Tuesday or Thursday, ESPN Wednesday or Friday, I'm in for LeBron. I'm in for Harden. I'm in for Durant. I'm in for the return of Steph. I love Giannis. This is not a personal indictment, Key. He does not get me to the television.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio or streaming live on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John. 30-20. Stinks. I don't know how else to really say it. If you want to give your opinions on it, feel free. 800-998-1003. Last night in Sacramento, Pelicans picking up a nice swim. The Graf, Jordan. Todd Graffanini, voice of the Pelicans, as heard here on ESPN New Orleans, your home for Pelicans radio.
Now Williamson driving on Maxwell. No! No, the lefty throwdown! Posterized, baby, Zion Williamson.
The man has a family. Jeez.
My heavens.
Zion with the dunk. 31 points, Jordan. And don't worry, I'm going to talk to me some pals. We got the rest of the week here. They got the Jazz Tuesday, Thursday. And we're going to get into that here as well because, you know, any chance I get to pat myself on the back, it's coming, right? You know it's coming.
I agree with you, honestly.
Okay, well, I understand, but you know what's coming. A pat on the back is coming at 1:30 when we speak with Daniel Salison of the Pelicans Radio Network. I'm going to stretch during
that
break.
Wait. I thought you
pat
didn't.
Pat on the back
I thought
is
you,
coming.
You were texting me that you didn't like this player also at the beginning of the season.
Who? Oh, no, my pat on the back is my guy. Yeah.
Oh, Kyra?
Yeah, just stick around at 1:30.
You got
nowhere to go.
I thought you were going to say
you got nowhere to go. Just sit here. Well, you can pat him too. That's why my pat on the back is coming up at 1:30. 1:15, Rafael Esparza, your phone calls now in this segment. We'll hear from some Saints players in the locker room here as well. Want to get your opinion. The coordinator, thank you for giving us a call. What you got?
Hey, how you doing, G-Cat?
Doing well, man.
Well, listen, let me speak, because this radio station lets you speak, not the other one, you know? But as I can say, this here, G-Cat, I want people to remember this. 2009 is over with, okay? That era is over with. It's been over with for 4 years, past 4 years, but people just was in denial. Another thing, okay, with Drew Brees retiring, he needs to retire. Everybody knows that he cannot get that ball no more than 40 yards downfield. Everybody knows this. I'm happy what he did for the city. He did a lot, helping the organization win. But it wasn't only Drew Brees. I want the fans to remember this. I'm going to run off some names. We had Robert Meacham. We had Deborah Henderson. We had Lance Moore. We had Jeremy Shockey. We had Jerry Evans, Pierre Thomas. I can go on and on. That's on the offensive side. On the defensive side, we had Roman Harper. We had Darren Shawford, Mr. Jimmy Shake. You know, we had Fajita, Chandler. know, it was team effort. The Saints blew Drew Brees' career 3 years without a defense.
Yeah.
But listen, hold on, G-Cat. Without a defense, okay? Okay, without a defense. So now, I'm going to tell you what hurt him last night. I'm going to tell you what, when the game changed.
Mm-hmm.
The game changed when Devontae Harris went out the game. Mm. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. They had to respect his speed. So when he was taking the top off, if he was able to take the top off, if he was in the game, he was able to, Drew Brees will be able to throw those checkdowns to Michael Thomas. More of the field would have been open. So he don't have the arm to get the ball that deep on the ball again. But, like I'm saying, that changed once Devontae Harris went out the game and they didn't score 14 points, like you say, with those 2 field goals. You play to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you got down there, do not kick that second field goal. Go for it and try to get the first down. Go for it and try to get the first down. But people have to remember, we had Gary Hartley, Tracy Porter, but everybody just, I hate when everybody in our city, not everybody, but they give the accolades to only one person when it's a team sport that helped win that championship that the Saints won. It wasn't just Drew Brees. Drew Brees was put on a soft field by the defense that he had that year they won the Super Bowl. And once they got ahead, teams wasn't able to catch up with them. Remember that. We need Jameis Winston should be the quarterback. We need somebody that can get the ball downfield. I don't know how many people they're just in denial. He don't have the arm strength that he had anymore. All the time is undefeated. Undefeated. I think if Drew Brees stays here, he's going to hurt the team more because they're not letting them move on to build. That would be selfish to me. It would be selfish. Now, you can go ahead and respond, G-Cat. Do your thing.
Man, I you had a lot there. But I'll say this, coordinator. Somebody brought this up to me this morning. Do you think Drew would come back in a backup role?
He could do that. But know what? Drew Brees is it's an ego thing. When you're still trying to chase ghosts, he's still trying to chase records with trying to keep up with Tom Brady with touchdowns.
I don't know. Hear me out. I don't know. I don't think that he doesn't not understand that and know that. But I don't think he takes the field or look at it in this one play and goes, I need 8 yards to keep up with Tom Brady. I legitimately feel, I'm going to play some sound here from him after the game that you can hear. He legitimately feels he can still, and look, what's crazy about, in your truth to father time is this. When you get older, you occasionally, right, look like your old self at certain moments. One of the things about time is the consistency level in trying to do that, right? Like, you look at Jordan when he was with the Wizards. I mean, no, he wouldn't come fly with me, but every now and then, that one time here at the arena, he would drop that 25-foot fadeaway, right? I mean, you're like, ah, there he is, the snapshot. In the 2 games before this, maybe not the Bears because the offense didn't look good as a whole, but, I mean, Drew was on in Carolina. I mean, the ball was flowing everywhere. He was playing with practice squad guys. Like, the problem with Father Time, though, is it's not consistent. You know, that feeling, the way your arm feels, the way your movement goes, the decision-making, all those things. But, look, I don't think he takes to the field or decided to come back this year to go back and forth with records simply because, I say this, coordinator, he already had his place. Another season of a few more touchdowns, a few more yards, isn't going to determine, you know, other than in banter or in conversations when you're having beers with friends, who's the better quarterback. He was going to Canton before he showed up this year.
Exactly.
You know, I think he legitimately look like he can play. Go back to when he got injured with the ribs, and you could see it on his face. He was like, oh, no, is this my last time? And that's why, again, coordinator, he spent 2.5 hours with his family on the field yesterday. He didn't want to leave, you know? But well, I think he knows he has to.
G-Cat.
Yeah.
Drew Brees still have him mentally, but physically, is the
right.
decline.
Right. No, you know, I think he understands
that. Game, see the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mentally, mm-hmm. physically, look at the game, break down a defense or whatever else, see what coverage they are in and everything else like that. But when you don't have it physically, you're hurting the team. You know what I'm saying? You teach it to somebody else. Bring it to them. You know, pass it on. You know, just pass it on. Mm-hmm. Your time is up. I wish I still had hair on my head. I don't. You know?
Well, I hear you, man. I hear you, dude.
I'm going to say this. They have a lot of men which they don't have to use Viagra. They do.
I hear you, dude. I hear you. Let me ask you this. I want to play one bite before we go to break, but I want to ask you, where do you think the Saints go next year? Do you think they try to get a veteran quarterback, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson,
Listen to me. All right, listen to me. Deshaun Watson, they'll have to give up a lot.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind Deshaun Watson, but don't get me wrong. Nothing is wrong with Jameis. Jameis was in a bad situation with bad coaching. If Sean is a good coach, that could be taught. He can, you know, he could tell him, you know, you're a good coach. You're a quarterback whisperer. That's your job. You know what I'm saying? You teach them the game. Teach them about the turnovers. You know what I'm saying? He's more physically gifted than Drew Brees is. Nobody, you know, you can't deny that. You have mm-hmm. a quarterback there. All right, Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford stay hurt a lot. People not looking at that. You go back on Matthew Stafford's history. He's been hurt a lot since he's been at Detroit. You know? He's been put in a bad situation. Jameis is younger than him. Taysom cannot be our quarterback. Not with the style of play that he has. If it was me, Taysom would be a running back. That's just my opinion.
I do think Taysom Hill, I would say this. I think Taysom Hill next year comes back, obviously has one more year in his contract. As Larry brought it up, Winston's not under contract, but I could easily see, again, affordably, the probably easiest path is Winston's your quarterback for a year or two, 1 or 2 year deal, prove it kind of deal, and Taysom is back in the Joker role. Taysom's not going to be your everyday start. That would be my guess off of what I saw. Again, moving up in the draft is going to take a lot to get up and get one of those QBs. I know people are saying Mac Jones might be able to be there towards the end of the bottom of the first round, if you're a Mac Jones fan or not. Matthew Stafford might be easier to get than Deshaun Watson, but I seriously doubt Dan Campbell, who's likely going to be the next head coach over there leaving the Saints, is going to want to go up there and not have a quarterback himself, you know? So, Stafford's only 32.
How many yards did Jameis throw for last year? People just keep forgetting that young guy was a winner when he was in college, and he's still a winner. But people just don't know it. A lot of people, what's in their mind, I think a lot of what's holding the people back within their minds about his off-the-field issues.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
They're not thinking about – I'm serious. A lot of people – that's what's holding those people back, a lot of people back, you know, when he had his off-the-field issues. But if Sean Payton is the coach that everybody say he is and a quarterback whisperer, you can turn that guy into a better player than what he is. That's my opinion.
All right. Coordinator, thank you for the phone call, man. Appreciate it, bud.
You're welcome.
Here he goes. Coordinator. You know, something that stood out and we hadn't touched on yet, again, we're going to talk with Rafael the other games here as well. You know what's remarkable? I heard Mike Greenberg say this when he came on this morning at 9 o'clock. Jordan, you realize in back-to-back days, Saturday and Sunday, the last two MVPs went out with concussions. Lamar Jackson went out with a concussion. Pat Mahomes went out with a concussion. Those two QBs. And to your point, you're kind of talking between commercial mm-hmm. breaks. You better have a quarterback, man.
Yeah.
I mean, in the postseason, you can just see it.
You saw in Kansas City Chiefs game against the Cleveland Browns. They were up, what, 17-3?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, tie turned once Pat Mahomes got that concussion. And they almost came back and won that football game. So I think it's more of an important thing for the Saints this offseason to find your quarterback. If he's in the building, come out with it sooner or later, but you have to have that guy if you want to have continued success. If you look at Kansas City, they have all the weapons that they needed, but if you don't have that quarterback, you saw what happened against the Browns over the weekend.
So, there you go. We'll take a quick break. Rafael Esparza, we'll chat with him about the games. And, of course, coming up this weekend, AFC and NFC Championship games. Mike Greenberg also brought up this point. Those four quarterbacks could be 1, 2, 3, 4 in the MVP voting as well. Again, another example, you better have a quarterback. Sports Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for the Start of Something New sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat in Houma. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health, and last year I paid them a visit at the clinic. It's in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building on Ferran. I went to get tested and see if I had low T to get an overall look at my health. Low T can cause insomnia, brain fog, and overall self-confidence issues. Go get tested. On-site labs give you the results that visit. So with the new year, resolve to get back to being the old you. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Sports Hangover, Rafael Esparza in a matter of minutes here, but Dennis wants to chime in. Before we go to Rafael, Mr. Vegas, what you got, sir?
Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well, man. What you got?
All right, this is what I got. You know, the last call we were talking about, the off-the-field thing with Jamison, man. Jamison's just not a good quarterback. He all right for somebody else, but I think we should put up the 3 on first-round draft picks and try and go get on your boy from Houston. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We lost that game. They just beat us yesterday. Man up. You know, take your loss, go home, because they took their 2 losses. They went home and got Bella, so we at home. We just took our 2 losses and just deal with. You know, Drew Brees did his thing for us, you know. Yeah, it's a team sport, you know, but at the same time, you know, he was the captain of the team, you know, mm-hmm. When we won the Super Bowl. He's been the captain ever since he's been here. So, you know, I took my hat off to him and tried to hang it up, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he shouldn't cry about nothing. He did a good job, you know. I understand the 3 interceptions. It's all right. We gave him that, you know what I'm saying? They won. They just manhandled us, like they say. You know, our first 2 goals were field goals. Well, man, you know, we have to put some touchdowns up. But, you know, we just take our loss and keep ticking, you know what I'm saying? And next year will be a belly year for me, you know what I'm saying? Can't complain. How y'all feel about that?
Dennis, I'll say this, man. I don't think, and I was talking to Jordan during the break here, I don't think that loss was on Brees, to be honest with you.
Two
of those 3 interceptions came, again, after the Cook fumble. One was a miscommunication with Alvin, maybe trying to make a play. And then that last one, I mean, there were 3 buck defenders around Cook. You're trailing. Jordan's convinced to still hit him in the hands and he should have caught it. But the thing is, it's, at that point, you're down so many scores. You're trying to make plays and stuff. But again, you got to score touchdowns in those first two drives.
Yeah, you know? You're right. But like I said, but you know what I'm saying? I don't blame Drew. It's a team sport. You know what I'm saying? Things happen. We, you know, they play a better game than us.
Right.
Nobody say no when we play a better game than the last two than them. You know what I'm saying? We missed blocks. We had holding. We had all kinds. Look at Evans. He first goal touchdown against Lattimore. You know what I'm saying? So he bottled him up. You know what I'm saying? For that touchdown. But look, it happened. We took the loss. We down south. We're going to keep a head up. We'll be all right.
Yep.
You know, but I know what I really want, though. Let him retire, but join the coaching staff.
You like him to be on the coaching staff. I hear you. He's got the deal with NBC. I still think you're not some way, shape, or form, whether it's Zoom, FaceTime, whatever. I think Drew Brees will still be around this football team one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but you should be on that staff.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
consult anything. You know what I'm saying? You just can't let him go. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, Dennis. Thank you for the phone call, man. Appreciate the phone call, sir.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, for sure, man. Give us a buzz. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow on Twitter. You keep shaking your head. What? Why are you shaking your head?
I'm just kind of shaking my head because of still the Jared Cook thing, but I don't know why we're having Rafael on the show today after the tweet he sent us.
Oh, wow.
Or the text message he sent us right after the game.
Hi, Rafael. How are you this afternoon?
How's it going on this a lovely, sunny Black Monday?
You know, here's the thing, because you knew it was a storyline yesterday. I mean, going into the game yesterday. On Monday, do you think the game was won and lost by the quarterbacks? Or do you think it was, like, for me, Devin White played a bigger role in that game than Tom Brady. I'm not saying Tom didn't, right? He made plays. He didn't turn the ball over. And I think several players on the Saints side didn't perform to the capability that they were, or do you lay it all on Tom? He's the greatest, and Drew blew it.
I will relay it all on what happened on Saturday. Both home teams won on Saturday, and that's not a good factor when you come into Sunday when both home teams won. And then the first game on Sunday, the road team covers. So you figure the road team has to win at least one of these four games. And what's the last game on the TV on Sunday before we go into conference championship was the Saints game? It was just. I don't blame Drew Brees at all. I totally agree with what you said earlier. I mean, they were pressing because they were down. I was just a little bit shocked on urgency. You said it. They didn't score in their first two drives, two field goals. You need 7 points. You need to show, hey, we're going to go up 7, not 3-3. It was a very boring first half, and I think they needed 7 points, two field goals. Right away. I think that was the tempo of the game coming out in the second half.
What did you take out of the Green Bay Rams game?
The Rams. That maybe the Saints players are good is because it's supposed to be in the 20s and maybe snow that they get to watch the game and with the heat on and the fireplace on. They looked really good that running game. If Tampa was able to run a little bit against the Saints yesterday, what were they going to do against Green Bay? Because Green Bay ran all over the Rams with their rushing attack, and then of course Aaron was Aaron.
When you look at that game in Kansas City against. Cleveland, were you surprised that the Browns had that game that close? I really wasn't in this aspect of it. You know, they'd be healthier. They believe in themselves. And more importantly, that's KC all season long, right? Kind of up and down.
Well, if you were working on Friday instead of joyriding around the world, you would have heard me say that I thought Cleveland had a really good shot of winning straight up upset. I took the plus 10. And if I was a money line bettor, I would have been losing right now. But I would thought the Browns had a very good chance to win that game outright. And they actually did. So, that didn't shock me. I'm glad that's what the outcome was. Kansas City's going to come in this game a little bit banged up because I've been telling people I thought the Buffalo Bills were the best team in the NFC. So I'm hoping that maybe Kansas City's not 100% because I'm not going to lie. I have some tickets on Buffalo to win the AFC. So you saw my grocery.
I did. I saw that picture. I
need some money.
Well, the fact that you filled most of that cart down the street, yeah, I would say you do. The one thing that I guess was interesting in that game with Buffalo and Baltimore, I kept hearing a lot about the win. Hallbar saying that the snapping shotgun, the wind was affecting that, and you know the kicker that normally never misses doinks it twice. You could definitely understand from the kicking aspect of it, but fair or not fair, and again, I know he went out with a concussion later, fair or not fair to say Lamar Jackson struggled in that game?
He did, but I think he at least he got that playoff win this year, so he doesn't have to hear about it all summer long. He can't win a playoff game. He can't win a game, so at least he got that one W. Now he can build on that. But, yeah, I mean, he's outside. The weather inclements was probably not favorable for him, so, I mean, you can throw a lot of stuff at him. But I thought he played okay. Some of his passes were a little bit off, but, I mean, we saw some bad passing yesterday inside the dome. So I'm not going to put it all on Lamar Jackson.
When you look at the AFC Championship game coming up, you mentioned about whether or not what Pat Mahomes is. I was looking at that hit again today just to kind of refresh my head. I know they said he went out with a concussion, but they're saying that he passed tests last night, and it was more of a nerve being tweaked in his neck because you never really see his head impact the ground or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of boxing and a lot of UFC. I see a lot of people get their heads smacked off, and I didn't think that was a bad hit. Now, Lamar Jackson, you saw his head bounce in the back
right,
of the head when he
right.
landed. That's concussion. I didn't really think. I thought maybe he had a finger or maybe a neck issue. So we prepared when we set the opening number right away when that game was over. We prepared to say that he's going to play this game, and I think he will play this game. I'll be totally blown away if the all-great Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback to ever put a jersey on, does not play on Sunday.
The Texans, per Ian Rappaport a little bit ago, say that they have been allowed by the NFL to virtual interview Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy today, because this morning one of the big topics was Rafaela really did look like, it's not over not just over the weekend, but this morning and late last night, pretty much all the jobs are going to be taken. Dan Campbell over there in Detroit being one of the latest. The Rams D coordinator going over there by the Chargers. Bieniemy was believed to be a leading contender going for that job. Do you think it's the Texans or bust? And is it fair, especially since yesterday, I forgot who tweeted it. I think it was Schefter that said it's the least desirable head coaching job in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm hoping he doesn't go to Texans because I just don't see Deshaun Watson being there at all. And I feel bad for the enemy because he could have probably had some really good jobs, but they're still playing, and all those people who got jobs are not playing. So this is going to be very, very difficult for the NFL because if he doesn't get a job, because if I'm him, I don't want to go to Houston. That's the only job I think that's probably going to be around. So he's probably not going to be a head coach, and you know who's going to be screaming about that. The enemy's not a head coach this year. So the NFL is in a very, very tough spot right now.
Yeah, I think one of the other interesting aspects of it is I thought they could interview, right? Or even though the teams were still in, I thought the NFL changed that rule.
I thought they did too, but I mean, I think you can only do it through Zoom and you couldn't go visit them. So I think that's a totally different kind of an interview feel. I mean, let's face it, the Eagles, I'm hearing they want Lincoln. I mean, they want Lincoln Riley to coach them. So if that's the case, they're probably going to go college or something like that. And again, I wouldn't want to coach Houston because I don't even think J.J. Watt's going to be there next year for that team. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Who do you think will be the quarterback? Where do you think Watson will be quarterback next year?
That's a tough one. I mean, I actually thought he wouldn't leave Texas, but I think every new day comes out, I think he's gone. So I would think he's got a lot of – why not put him at New England? Let's throw it all. I mean, the New England and Tom Brady just rule the NFL. So why not just put Deshaun Watson in the Patriots jersey?
You got to go to the Patriots. All right, I got you. What about the Saints? Who do you think is the Saints' next quarterback? You have some props on that?
I'm actually working on that right now as we speak. I think right now, I think it's going to be either Winston or Hill who's going to be the starting quarterback in 2021 in week one. But I mean, me and you were talking, so I would not be shocked if Stanford gets some shots, that maybe rumors are coming here. I think Deshaun Watson rumors are going to be coming here. So there's going to be a lot of people. I think this job could be open. I don't think it's 100% sold on either of those two that the Saints already have right now. If they can get a chance to bring in Watson or somebody else here, I think they're going to pull the trigger. Because if you figure Deshaun Watson, me and you were talking about this, he's a young guy. He could be your quarterback for many, many, many years. Hill, no disrespect to Hill, no disrespect to anybody else, they're just short term, 3 maybe max years.
Final thing for you, it's coming up on Saturday, McGregor. What it's part 2, right? Rematch?
Yeah. Rematch against Dusty Poirier. It's going to be interesting because McGregor says he wants to fight 3 times, and I'm here he's really, really close on signing that contract with Manny Pacquiao to box. So if that's the case, he could fight three times in the UFC and maybe box in 2021, the beginning of 2022. But he just needs to win this fight. I think if he loses, then everything goes out the door, and I wouldn't be shocked if things get better. But I think he needs to win this because I'm rooting for him because I just think he's good for social media. He's good for my job. He's good for profits. So I'm rooting for Conor McGregor. I'm going to wait to see if hopefully some Dustin Poirier money comes in right now because we need the diamond big time right now.
All right, Rafael Esparza, as always, at VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow you over on social media and the videos that you put over on Instagram. And every now and then, you'll go down the street and fill up this basket with deliciousness over there.
I'm sorry for the tweet last night, guys. That was disrespectful, and I apologize. Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you, Rafael.
Jordan's still in a bad mood, by the way.
Well, I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just upset. I'm sad.
It's a sad day.
Take it easy, guys.
There he goes, Rafael Esparza. It's a sad day. It is what it is. You know, there was a New Orleans team that won there yesterday. They almost didn't. Another comeback late. We are home for Pelicans basketball. And last night, Pels defeated the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk with Daniel Salison. He was in on the call with the Graf. We'll hear from him next on ESPN New Orleans.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Sports is using technology to take the fan experience to the next level. When it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
Dear VetTix, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, VetTix.
Dear VetTix, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, VetTix. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to VetTix.org.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. So, last night, Pelicans did well. Did well, Jordan. They won yesterday. Early in the game, you saw... nice little connection between a young fella and another young fella.
Josh Hart got a hand in there, and he stole it. Well done, Josh. Now Zion, bounce feed to Jackson, floats it over the front iron and in as Jackson Hayes cutting down the center of the lane. Another great find by Williamson, and an N1 free throw coming up.
That's what we love about.
Oh, sorry, I didn't cut you off there, Daniel Salison, part of the Pelicans
Radio Network. I didn't either.
I didn't want to take away your analysis from that. How are you, Daniel?
I'm good. It's okay. I've been cut off many times. Just part of the job.
Wasn't me. I had nothing to do with that. Last night, the Pels get the win, 128-123. Daniel, it was a lot tighter than I think I wanted it to be because they played really well. And look, this was a team, and you and I spoke, I think the last time you spoke with us, I said I looked at this schedule and I looked at this, and, you know, Phoenix was one, Sacramento being another. They had a nice start to the season with the Aaron Fox. I was interested once you got past the Clippers and Lakers, which we'll get to in a second. But Sacramento, again, is a team that has, you know, desires to be a team that compete for a playoff spot. I was interested to see these two teams go at it. And leaving that game last night, I think I got to feel good if I'm a Pels fan.
Oh, no doubt. Just to snap that five-game losing streak and, again, get a win. Both teams were desperate for a win. I mean, the Kings got blown out the night before, two nights before, 138-100. And Luke Walton said the next day at practice, he just rolled out the basketball and said, you all go play. He wasn't going to call fouls. He was basically just going to let him go at it. And he wanted to see that intensity last night, which he did, and he was pleased with that. But, of course, the Pelicans were able to close out a game, which is something they've had some trouble with during this losing streak. So, yeah, absolutely. Anytime you get a win like this on the road trip, it gets a team that, again, you may be battling down the road. It's certainly nice to start off the week.
All right, so I want to talk to you because I haven't had a chance to. I'll go back to the Clippers game. Clippers and Lakers, the two games and the two meetings. Daniel, sitting there going, look, the way the Pels were playing going into that, the way they were as well, it's going to be tough matchups. But, Daniel, even though the final score for the Lakers is a little bigger than I thought, they led for a while. And that was a tight game until, again, you saw the Lakers and their experience and their, you know, Hall of Famer and stuff kind of take over. And then with the Clippers, guys that have won championships or MVPs take over. I was happy with the competitiveness and the performance in those two games.
Yeah, in the Clippers game, I mean, the Clippers shot 48% from three, which is, I mean, they're averaging almost 43% from three, which has only happened one other time in NBA history. So the fact that they're just shooting lights out from three shows you what kind of team they are. But the common theme in both those games were large runs that got the best of the Pelicans. And what seems to be a problem during these large runs is their defense falls by the wayside afterwards. They kind of get down on themselves. The offense tends to struggle a little bit, and the defense, which, you know, kind of go hand in hand at that point. And the Pelicans, you know, can't really recover after that. I mean, New Orleans was up 15 on the Lakers the other night in that second quarter. And by the end of the quarter, Pelicans were only up one heading into halftime. The momentum completely shifted, and they only scored 16 points in the third quarter. Same goes for the Clippers game where, you know, they were hanging on by a thread at halftime. Third quarter came around, they got outscored by eight, and then after that, it was all she wrote, basically, with the Clippers hanging on in that one. So I think the big thing was Pelicans overcome another tough third quarter yesterday, but again, closing it out was huge for them against the Kings. So yeah, two tough losses against two of the best teams in the league. I mean, the 1-2 seeds right now, if the season ends today, but it was nice for them to get the win last night.
I want to talk about the young guys, Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Kyra Lewis. You know how I feel about Kyra. Nikhil had that ridiculous game, 37 points. He just went bananas. And I was like, I'm interested to see what happens after that. He hasn't had that kind of point production, but he still has played well. What would you say about Nas play the last three games?
He's had production, which is nice. You're not going to expect him to score 37 each game. We talked about on the air tonight. He got in foul trouble against the Lakers, had five fouls. He still managed to put up 12 points and was shooting efficient from the field. Last night, 9 points, five rebounds, five assists. Again, those five rebounds and five assists are what I'm more concerned about than the scoring, because you don't necessarily need a ton of scoring from Nikhil at this point when he's in the game. You need them either to run the point or you need him to compliment Eric Bledsoe and make sure you get the ball down to Zion and Brandon Ingram. So I think he's been playing really well in these three games. You can see the confidence, and you can see between him and Kyra Lewis Jr., I'll just combine them, no turnovers last night, and they played a combined 48 minutes. So if you can get that kind of production from those young guys every night where they're not turning the ball over, which has been a problem for the Pelicans, then I say that's a win in my book. And you get to see them gradually progress throughout the season.
I'm sorry, say that again. How many minutes and how many turnovers?
Combined 48 minutes and zero turnovers last night.
Hey. Imagine that, huh? And you get a win. Imagine that. All right, let's get to it. Kyra, since she's had some minutes here, I saw a tweet a little bit ago, and what was it? I think I even said it to you. 41 minutes in the last three games, 19 drives, 14 potential assists, one turnover. I like what I'm seeing out of him in the small minutes that coach is giving Kyra.
Yeah, you can tell he has no fear going to the basket, which I love for him, and that's where he uses his quickness and ability to get to the rack, and that's why he was drafted number 13 overall. Last night he missed a couple of, you know, layups, but also they were contested layups. So I think sometimes the fact that he adjusted on his last field goal, he shot a floater instead of going all the way in, it shows you that he already is aware of how he's being defended at the paint or inside the paint. So he adjusted, made the floater, and finished with 3 points and five assists. But again, I think the shooting's going to come. Sam Van Gundy raved about him last night, how he's a special player and he's going to be one. He's only scratching the surface. And again, these are huge minutes for him to get, no matter what the situation is. The fact that he's playing 15 minutes last night, playing 10 to 15 minutes the other night, I mean, that's what you want from your number 13 pick, to kind of learn as you go. And there are some teaching moments last night. I saw Josh Hart and, you know, and J.J. Redick help him out defensively where he missed an assignment and rotation. But again, that's going to come with it. So the fact that you're seeing upside and you're seeing not only Stan, but Brandon Ingram rave about him, Eric Bledsoe, mm-hmm. it's a good sign for Pelicans fans in the future. They have.
Full disclosure, birthday weekend, which naturally means days before this weekend and days into the weekend, I might have had a beverage or two. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's the beverages. I think Jackson Hayes is improving over the last couple of games to, like, impacting plays is what I'm getting at. He looks aggressive. It feels like he's getting boards. He looks quicker to and from the basket, which means that he's not thinking. He's just reacting. I don't know. Am I seeing that? Jordan has a pretty interesting stat from the Pels PR here.
Yeah, Pels PR over on Twitter. Over his last three games, Jackson Hayes holds a rebounding percentage of 24.7, including a defensive rebounding percentage of 34.2 and an offensive rebounding percentage of 16.3. His overall rebounding percentage and defensive rebounding percentage lead the NBA over this span.
I'm terrible at math. What does that mean?
It means the percentage of rebounds that are available for him to get, he's getting that amount, which is impressive. And that's the big thing with Jackson, because everyone talked about his lack of rebounding at Texas and his lack of rebounding last year. And I think that's the big thing that you can get from him when Steven Adams is not on the floor is those rebounds. He had six again last night. He had 10 in the Clippers loss, and then I think he had 6 to 8 the other night against the Lakers. I don't have that box score in front of me. But you're right, he's being very productive. It wasn't the beverages that you chose during the weekend. He is playing some pretty good basketball, 11 points last night on 4 of 6 shooting. Again, this is what you need out of your bench guys.
Right,
The Kings bench by over 20 last night. You had 14 from Redick. You had Jackson with 11. Hart and Kyra struggled from points-wise, but of course Josh had a couple of nice steals, some rebounds, some assists. You just need your bench to be productive while the starters get some rest, and so you don't have to rely on them playing 40 minutes a night. And I think you're starting to see that. J.J. Redick was 3 of 5 from downtown. He had 14 points last night. I mean, maybe he's starting to heat up a little bit. But going back to Jackson, he does look more comfortable. He's not making as many mistakes. He's not getting a ton of fouls. He only had one foul last night. I mean, those are the little things that you saw earlier this season and last year that he's starting to clean up a little bit.
Yeah, and you said it right there. I mean, I don't need him to be, you know, Patrick Ewing or Olajuwon. It'd be nice. But, I mean, when you're coming off the bench, just be something productive and give Steven a breather, because, again, another double-double for him. I mean, I love Adams, man. He's driving down the lane, kicking. He thinks he's a guard sometimes. I just love Steven Adams so far this season, huh?
Yeah, great passer, too. I mean, for a big man, 4 assists last night. 8 offensive rebounds, which was the new season high, 15 rebounds overall. I mean, he and Zion, again, are the top duo in offensive rebounds. But also the big thing last night between him and Zion Williamson is making their free throws. Zion was 5 for 5. Steven was 6 of 8. And Gus, get this, in the last 6.5 minutes, the Pelicans only scored one field goal last night. So when you talk about closing games out, it wasn't ideal from that standpoint. But 12 of their 14 points came from the free throw line. They tried hack of Adams. Adams ended up hitting 2 of his free throws. Zion made big free throws down the stretch. So your two big men that you're a little concerned about with their free throw shooting came up huge last night, shooting combined 11 to 13. So, I mean, Adams was phenomenal again. Zion Williamson, I mean, 13 for 15. I mean, come on. I mean, it was just an overall balanced night that Todd and I talked about last night.
You know, it's interesting because as we move forward now, you got to face the Jazz twice in a period of 3 days, Tuesday and Thursday. I look at them, they're a game and a half behind the Lakers, 9-4, and third right now. I know it's early, but when I see stats, and people have been tweeting some stats this morning, are they that hot and cold offensively? Like, in other words, one night they're going to come out and shoot the lights out, and the other night they're not going to hit anything. Is that kind of the team you're going to be facing tomorrow?
Yes, and they rely a lot on the three-point shooting. They're 44%, which is second in the NBA, but they're shooting 44.3% from 2, which is second or third to last, and they're horrible in the mid-range as well. They're 29th in the NBA. So
do you sort of change your philosophy? Because I know the Pels' philosophy is to go ahead and shoot the three.
Yeah, it just depends on the situation. Again, they're not trying to allow threes. They're just focusing more on making sure they, you know, don't allow easy lay-ins and free throw shots. And I'll give you an example. Last night, the Kings were first in the NBA as far as getting to the line, which they averaged getting to the line about 28 times. Well, they limited the Kings to only going to the free throw line 18 times. They were 16 of 18, but that's 10 free throw attempts that you avoided last night because you played good defense. Now, you did allow 66 points in the paint, but the Kings were third in the league as far as points in the paint is concerned. So you don't change your strategy a ton. Again, Stan's always going to stick with his guns. It just depends on, you know, a lot of these threes that the other team is getting is in transition, which means eliminate turnovers for one thing and getting back. But also the Pelicans, I saw last night, were improving on their closeouts, and that's the biggest thing. Just getting a guy in their face while shooting a three, and you'll be fine, I think. They're not going to change their entire game plan to, you know, protect the perimeter. But, of course, they'll keep an eye on that depending on the shooters that the Jazz have on the floor.
Daniel Salison, Pelicans Radio Network, as always, man. Appreciate the time this afternoon for joining us. And got a game tomorrow. Getting ready for it.
Looking forward to it, Gus. Appreciate it, man.
Yep, thank you so much. D. Salison, the way to follow him over on Twitter. Jordan just saw the highlights of the call that apparently is all right, I'll say it. Dan Patrick.
No, that was just the layup. The one was actually.
Well, what
Zion's
I'm saying
poster.
Is that the graph's kind of famous again, right? He's where
he's
playing.
He's the voice of the Pelicans.
No, I know he is, but I mean it's
just Zion's poster.
There it is. Now Williamson driving on Metzoon. No, the lefty throwdown. Posterized, baby, Zion Williamson.
The man has a family. Jeez,
my heavens.
I like the commentary by Daniel there, huh? He has a family.
Man has a family.
Yeah. McGrath. Everyone's popular, huh? Everyone. And he got a win. I don't care for the.
Thank
you know,
God they got a win.
I mean, I was doing well, and Daniel had to bring up they didn't score a field goal in the last 6.5. You got to change that, right? That's got the easiest way to close out. At least you knocked down some free throws, though. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's workplace readiness team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
This Saturday, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is offering new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with first deposit. Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. Download the DraftKings app and use code MAX to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's code MAX, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We can help you out and get you ready for the colder weather ahead. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got replacement batteries that fit your needs, starting at just $79.99. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, we like to be accurate around here, Jordan, as much as possible, because it doesn't happen very often. But we do like to point out that, yes, the graph is famous. Dan Patrick uses it as the play of the day, right? That one dunk right there. Do you want to hear it again since he keeps asking for it?
I guess you can.
Now Williamson driving on Maxfield. No! No, the lefty throwdown! Posterized, babies!
So was it?
Fourth time, apparently. Was it this season he said? Fourth time? Is that what he said? What's the Graffinini PR department?
Third.
What is it? Third Dan Patrick play of the day. It's not bad, Jordan. Third time. Maybe tomorrow could be a fourth time. You know? You never know. Okay, to your point, though, you're rewatching the highlights here.
Yeah, I didn't really get to watch the first half, obviously.
Right, I get it. And you've made an observation, especially on this trip, I would say what you're about to say.
What, that Zion's kind of finding his role like he kind of...
I wouldn't say his role. He's starting to look more like Duke Zion.
Like Duke Days.
And what do you mean by Duke Zion?
Be more physical, kind of demand the ball, take the ball to the rim, and instead of, you know, laying the ball up every single time...
A lot more dunks.
A lot more dunks.
I'm seeing a lot more
dunks.
A lot
more contact dunks and a lot more, you know, contested...
I feel a lot more dunks come and are coming because Jordan, I think, better ups, better shape, better legs... Better stamina? Huh?
Maybe basketball shape, like you said, the best way to get basketball shape
is to play basketball. Play basketball. And again, we're not being ugly, and I'm not being Travis here. But
if you don't want to say that he looks like a complete... If you say that he's the same player that he was at Duke, I just Google. All you got to do is
Google. Google highlights,
Just Google.
Look, I think as he continues to grow in this league, and what I mean by grow, I mean... understanding the game, spacing, and all that, but you put the highlights on from yesterday, and you see the game that he had. Jordan, he's behind the back dribbling, in between the legs dribbling, creating space, and then once he gets into the purple paint, it's a dunk. I mean, it's a dunk or it's a finish, and it's get out the way, and it's coming in. Like, there's no hesitation, and because I'm with you. One of the things that's been frustrating is to see how many block shots he's been getting.
Yep.
And I understand there's a lot of other taller players in the NBA and stuff, but if you're aggressive and the shot is either blocked, it has to be a really clean block. If not, there's a chance you're going to get fouled and you're going to go to the free throw line. It's about being aggressive and new. Not that he hadn't been, but I think a lot of times physically, he just looks better.
He looks a lot more quicker,
yes.
A lot more lighter on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you kind of see him going up and down the court a little bit easier than the past few games, which I like to see.
It wasn't just a play. There were 3 to 5 yesterday where he exploded to the rim, and as Ty would say, with authority, right? Dunked out with authority there.
No, he had like 5 dunks, and that was, I think he's had 5 dunks all, like maybe 6 to 7 dunks all season, if I can recall right. But in this one game, I counted 5 dunks, so it's nice to see him get into the hole and putting it down hard.
All right. Brandon Ingram had this to say in the team win.
Absolutely, and we need everybody every night to step up and be accountable for what they do well and come here and do what they do well. We look forward to it every single night, and when they're there, it makes our team a lot easier to win.
Here's Zion on getting into the paint.
Like multiple guys attacking the rim, multiple driving kicks, and, you know, that gets the offense flowing, and our shooters shoot with a lot more confidence when it's going like that.
60 points in the paint by the Pels last night. And again, I thought they looked pretty good offensively. Again, I get the last 6 minutes and go, but look, a lot of that can be mental, right? And just getting that win last night in the fashion you had to when the offense kind of went bye-bye there in the last few minutes, I think is important because you got to make those big shots at the free throw line.
You know, just my teammates seeing me in the open spots and knowing which sets the call for me, and also just trying to read the game better, seeing how the defense is playing me, and just adjusting off that.
Right, what was it again that Daniel said between Na and Kyra? 41 minutes, one turnover?
Yeah.
I'm no coach or GM, but I'm not even suggesting anything. I just...
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No.
You want to be saying it for a reason.
I'm just
saying it.
No, I'm just saying here's a stat. Here's a stat for you. What was the problem a couple of weeks ago?
Holding on to the ball.
What's the name of that stat again?
Turnovers.
Turnovers. Yeah. What are these two not doing?
Not turning it over.
Turning the ball over. Okay. Just Again, I'm not saying, I'm just presenting a stat to you. That's all. Zion on non, Kyra.
I love that out there. You know, Kiel's been playing very well. Kyra's been playing great. You know, when those two come out there, like, you know, they don't slow us up or anything. They play well and they give us energy. And, you know, we're just glad that they do that for us.
How long does
here's a serious question.
How long does Lonzo?
If I give you a gift certificate to get a jersey of your choice, and you have to pick between Adams or Kyra, who are you going with? I mean, now
I don't have a Zion Williamson jersey yet, so I'd probably get.
Wow. This is kind of like that golf tournament where somebody gave you a hat, and you didn't like the color, and you went back and asked for another color. And somebody generously gave you a hat. I offered you a free jersey. I asked you to pick either Steven Adams or Kyra Lewis. And you came to me and said, well, can I use this gift certificate or maybe get that and bring it back to the store and get a Zion Williams jersey? It's a simple question. It was Adams or Kyra. And I was hoping you'd say, well, you know, Adams has been playing really well. Now he's making all his free throws. Hacka Adams yesterday, as Graf asked B.I. at the end of the game.
Oh, well, that's part of being a professional. When you have a will to win, I think it takes anything. And he definitely stepped up and was really, really big for us in knocking those shots down at the end. And like I said, it took everybody. And his shots at the end were definitely big for us to win this basketball game tonight.
There you go. What are you pointing at over there?
I mean, this beginning of the fourth quarter where Zion just makes a stupid, stupid play to get the and one.
Zion on coach?
I love being coached by Coach Gundy. Great coach. You know, old school with his methods. You know, just a basketball guru and who wants to win. So, you know, I'm glad we got that kind of person as our coach.
All right.
Is there anything specific or particular about the way he coaches that stuck with you? Besides the voice, obviously.
Just the old school way he coaches. Like, you can just see, like, how much he cares about the game, how much the game means to him. And, you know, every game he's just coaching with his coaching with a passion. So, you know, like I said, I'm just glad we have a coach like him.
All right, so as we wrap up this hour, Jordan, I haven't forgotten. I felt like we needed to just go to something at one last night. We'll get right back to the Saints here in a little bit at the top of the hour and hear from the locker room sound. But split Utah, that seems like a reasonable thing, right? Split Utah, you got to face them twice, Tuesday and Thursday.
I'd like to get both of those.
I understand. Can we just say split?
We could say split.
Okay. And I think you need to be able to beat Minnesota.
Yeah, you got to beat Minnesota.
Can I say that? I mean, am I?
No, you have to beat Minnesota.
They're dead last.
You have to beat
Minnesota. Like in the Western Conference, they're 3-8. 2-8, the last 10. If you split one of two with Utah, take care of your business at Minnesota. And I have to be able to say that if I think that I'm going to be a team that's going to be competing for the 10th, 9th, or 8th spot, right? I got to be able to say I can beat the team that's last right now in your standings. That should be take care of business, shouldn't it? Because if that's the case, there's your 3-3 road trip. And I liked what I saw, even though there were losses. That Clipper game was 6 points, like cementing some change, right, in the fourth. And you were playing well against the Lakers there. And look, they're just a better team than you. Don't be shy to say it. I mean, they are. They got two superstars. You know? But we're competitive. All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from the locker room after the game. Bucks end the season 30-20 on the New Orleans Saints. We'll touch on that next. Studying ESPN New Orleans.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick! Sorry, kids!